Hello again. Thank you for tuning in and staying with us here on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. Today we'd like to turn to the Gospel of John in the 8th chapter, John 8, and looking at verse 12. We're trying to study together the I am statements, particularly from the Gospel of John. Here we find Jesus declaring, I am the light of the world. Now, you may remember that every time Jesus says this, he is affirming that he is the I am that I am. And he elaborates further on his characteristics and his nature and his essence through each of these I am statements. But implied in every one of these is Jesus saying, I am God. I am the Son of God. I am God manifest in the flesh. I'm the same God that spoke to Abraham as the I am that I am. So, here in the middle of this context, this is right after the woman that has been caught in adultery, her accusers have been condemned, and she's been forgiven and told to go and sin no more. Then Jesus spake again unto them. So some people that were still there in that audience, even though most of her accusers had left, there were still some people around. And Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Light is a title that God takes for himself, that he says that he is light. God is love. God is truth. God is holiness. And here we find, this is in 1 John chapter 1, beginning reading in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So light is one of the characteristics of God. We go all the way back to the beginning in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And what did he do to begin creation? What did God do? He said, let there be light. He just imposed his essence upon creation. Because what was there previous to God saying, let there be light? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Right? It was just darkness. The earth was void and without form, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But what did God do? He said, I'm going to impose my essence of light and change the darkness and allow it to be illuminated through my light. And God is light. Everything about God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, it connects in John chapter 1 back to the language from the book of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not. For there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. And that's a capital L in your King James Bible, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, as in John the Baptist was not that light. John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So Jesus Christ was the true, capital L, light. What does that mean? That means there must be some type of false light. There must be some type of non-pure light. You know, Satan is described as transforming himself on occasion into an angel of light. He's a fabricated light, a false light. Well, what is Jesus Christ? He's the true, capital L, light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he lighteth all of his children here in this world. So going back to 1 John chapter 1, we'll read verse 5 again. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, so if we say we have fellowship with the light, because Jesus is the light, so if we say we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now that blood of Jesus cleansing us is not the means by which we're born again by walking in the light. In other words, we're not born again and we're not saved to heaven by our works. But instead, what he's saying there is that if you walk with Jesus Christ, if you, to use a different analogy, if you abide in the vine, if you abide in him, if you walk in the light, what are you going to feel? You're going to feel a peace and an experiential forgiveness of your sins. You know, similar to Acts chapter 2, Peter tells those people there that have a pricked heart, and men, brethren, what shall we do? And he said, listen, you need to repent and receive the forgiveness of sins. Well, that's not when they were born again. That's not when their sins were remitted in heaven, but it was when they felt the cleansing of their sins in their own conscience and in their own experience, right? So if you're walking in darkness, you're going to lose out on some assurance. If you're walking in the darkness of this world, then you are going to lose a remarkable degree of the assurance of the blood of Jesus Christ and cleansing your conscience and purging and sanctifying your life. You're going to lose a significant amount of that if you walk in darkness instead of walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ, walking in fellowship with other members of the church who believe in Jesus, that love Jesus, that are also walking in the light. And notice we have fellowship with Jesus when we walk in the light, but we also have fellowship one with another, right? We have fellowship with other like-minded disciples who are also trying to walk in the light, who are also trying to serve Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was the true light that came into the world. And we just have to understand that this world does not like light. This world prefers darkness. And when Jesus came in the world, those that were in darkness hated it. You know, we think about where Jesus came after 400 silent years where God did not send a prophet to the nation of Israel. 400 years. America's only 250 years old. 400 years with no prophet standing up and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, there was a lot of religion going on. There was a lot of religious activities. There were sacrifices. There were synagogues. There were Sabbath day teachings going on consistently. There was a lot of religious activity. But listen, the spiritual environment in first century Judea after 400 silent years was in such darkness. And Jesus emphasized this. The people who were giving you the pretense of what religion is. These men are whited sepulchers. These men, many of them, now we speak in generalities, we don't speak in absolutes, because Nicodemus was a Pharisee, Joseph of Arimathea, there were other Pharisees that they believed on him, but they were just afraid to confess him publicly because they feared losing their place in society and their power and their financial gain, no doubt. So we speak in generalities, but he condemned the Pharisees and the scribes as being whited sepulchers. You give the pretense externally that you have religion, that you're righteous, but inwardly you're full of dead men's bones, you see. So who had taken control? Who was leading religion in the days that Jesus came in his ministry? It was men that were not men of the light. It was men of darkness, which is really sobering that there was a lot of religious activity and a religious pretense, but it was being led by men that were in abject darkness. Now, again, there was a few rays of light sprinkled in there, but the majority of Jewish leadership, of the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers, Jesus called them hypocrites, woe unto you, and he just lambasted them. And they were in darkness. They were in darkness. And why was it that they desired to put God manifest in the flesh to death? Why? It's because he called them out. He was the light of the world. And he pointed his holy finger in their face and he called them out for their darkness. And those that are in darkness do not like light being shown upon them. You know, this is even true in the animal realm and in the insect realm, right? What happens when you turn on the light in a room? Well, the rats scurry away, right? The roaches scurry away. The insects scurry away. Why? Because they want to hide from the light. And Jesus came in such a wicked, wicked, dark spiritual culture that when he showed up and said, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and lawyers, you are wicked," he said in John 8, "You are of your father the devil, and the lies and the wickedness of your father you will do. You're whited sepulchers inside. You're full of dead men's bones. You fake pretense of prayers and almsgiving, but you don't obey the law from the heart." All these egregious actions that Jesus, what did he do? He shined light upon their darkness. And what did the darkness want to do? It wanted to stamp out the light because they did not want their deeds exposed. And that's exactly what Jesus clarifies here for us in John chapter 3. This is the latter portion of Jesus's discussion with Nicodemus. And obviously there's a lot in the first portion of this, but we're going to jump in here on the back half of it. John 13, verse 19. "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world." In other words, Jesus is coming to the world. "That men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God." He's just saying those that are in darkness, they do not like an illumination. They do not like clarity of vision for the light to be exposing what they do. You know, those that commit all these crimes, they might do it in the middle of the day, but most of them are going to try to have some kind of concealment. They're going to try to do it at night where people can't see well, and they can't see their license plate, and they can't have a good description of them. Why? Because the wicked desire darkness to cover up the wickedness of their deeds, right? So why is it that this world hated Jesus so much? It's because he's shown as the light of the world, manifesting as a judgment, as a witness, as a testimony of how wicked this world really is and how wicked this world really was. And what did the darkness want to do? They wanted to stamp out the light. And that's how they treated Jesus. Jesus said, if we're servants of Jesus, if we're disciples of Jesus, don't be surprised if they treat the servants the same way they did the master. So he said, don't be surprised. Marvel not that the world hates you. Why? Because the world is in darkness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. The general disposition of this world apart from God is not light, it's darkness. And when you let your light shine, this world is not going to like it either. If they treated Jesus with such hostility that they took his life, don't be surprised when we encounter something similar. So in Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is telling his disciples how they're supposed to operate in the kingdom of God. He tells them here, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? You're thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men." So you're the salt of the earth. You're supposed to be a preservative agent. You're supposed to be a disinfectant agent, to a degree a sweetener, but really preservation is what's under consideration there. And God's children are not only the light that illuminates this world, that shines the light of Jesus Christ, but we're the salt that prevents the decay and the rottenness of the society around us. And if the society is rotting around us, we have to have an honest evaluation to look in the mirror of the church and in the mirror of the disciples of Christ and say, are we really being the salt of the earth if society around us is rotting at such a rapid pace around us? And that's a beneficial and sobering question to think on. Verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." So now Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," but he went away, right? He ascended back up to heaven. He went right out up to the right hand of God the Father. So who's the light of the world now? His disciples are. His children are, right? So Jesus is the light of the world, but Jesus resides inside of us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So now Jesus is the light of the world, is that true light. Who does he shine through? He shines through his children. He shines through his disciples. He shines through the church. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And what's the church called? It's called a candlestick, right? A candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know that little children's song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Put it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Shine it all around the neighborhood. Shine it till Jesus comes. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Jesus is the light of the world, but now the church, the candlestick of the kingdom of God, the candlestick of the individual local assemblies of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is what manifests the light of Jesus to this world. And again, in the same way to the rot and the decay of society around us, if that is happening at a rapid pace, I think that is some degree of a litmus test of the quality of the salt. And if we see the world around us getting darker and darker and darker and darker, that has to be some degree of a litmus test and a judgment against the children of God who are supposed to be the light of the world. We're a city that's set on a hill. We are the standard bearer for the true light. We are the standard bearer for Jesus Christ, and we have to bear that responsibility as the candlestick for our local communities, for the people we interact with. We need to let our light shine so the focus will not be on us. We never want the focus to be, we want the focus to always deflect away from us, and Christ would be exalted, Christ would be increased, he must increase, but I must decrease is the correct disposition of the John the Baptist and the correct disposition of every disciple of Christ. Men may see your good works, not so they brag on you and say, that's a really good guy. No, they see your good works and say, man, that guy's a sinner just like me. But you know what? He loved Jesus. You know, the disciples, you know, this was a condemnation, but it was actually a great commendation, even though it was a negative statement said about them. Their detractors who threw him in prison, they said, you know what? These men, they're unlearned and ignorant men. They're not very impressive, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Why? Because they were letting the light of Jesus shine. You know, Moses, when he came down from the mount, after having close, intimate communion with Jesus Christ, what happened? His face shone, right? So much so that they had to put a veil over the face of Moses. We should have such close fellowship and communion with Jesus that our face should shine, right? Our face should shine out to the world. And you know who's going to be attracted to that? Other children of God are going to be attracted to that, but also don't get discouraged. The darkness is going to be attracted to that in a negative way, and will try to persecute you, will try to revile you, will try to mock you. And we shouldn't be surprised of that because they treated our Savior the same way. So we're called to let our light shine, that the focus would be on the true light, right? We're the light of the world, to put the focus on the true light of Jesus Christ. And don't put your candle under a bushel. Let your candlestick shine out, your personal candlestick, and then in conjunction with the other disciples of Christ in your local body who make up an even broader candlestick, your local church as the candlestick, and then the kingdom of God as a city that's set on a hill. We are the custodians of the light of Jesus Christ to shine it out to the whole world, and we do not need to put under a bushel. We need to let it shine, right? Let it shine. Jesus is the light of the world, and now we are the light of the world, and we want to let that light be manifested in every area of our life, that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, glorify the true light of Jesus Christ. And hopefully through doing that, we also attract people to the light, and the kingdom of God and the church grows in that way as well. So Jesus Christ is the light of the world, but we're also the light of the world, and we want to let our light shine to glorify and honor the true light, Jesus Christ, who himself was the light of the world and has ascended up to heaven and now given that candlestick light responsibility to his disciples and his church and the kingdom of God. Let your light shine, child of God, to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. May God bless you richly and abundantly on this Lord's Day.